Mark sure doesn't want me to have an easy start, eh? But you'll take it. Something is booming behind me there. Well, good morning, everybody. I missed you last week, and it's such an honor to share God's word, to just to hear God speak and then deliver. And I hope that it's not me speaking, it's really the heart of God I'm sharing with you guys. You know, Jesus, he died so that we can live for all eternity. And now we are to die to ourselves so he can live and bring about his kingdom. And you know, 2 weeks ago, Phil Cannon at Birkenhead, who was there, did you enjoy him? You know, he's so delightful. He's with stories and entertaining and funny and it's but it causes you to want to die to self. It's like he gives you the wine of joy so that you don't feel you're dying, because we want to die to self, right? And so I really felt that word about just saying yes when Jesus, the simple things in life, just to say yes. Or the story of Lazarus, that the disciples, the only thing they have to do is remove the stone. And so what God asks us to do is actually not that big. It's just the little things in life, the little steps we take. And he will just use it to bring about his kingdom. And I'm so glad that we can be here again. And so, you know, if you ever feel I'm getting lost, just know that man never get lost. Like when you drive through the city or so, man never get lost. They just circle around the destination. So just keep that in mind, right? Yeah, I'm glad Romy's here. You know, she cheers me on. And good. So this morning, I sense God desires you to be immersed in his loving protection so you'll be invisible to the enemy. The title of the message is Hidden in God. And I really believe there is a place in God where we can be so in tune with him that we are invisible to the enemy. Phil Kane actually made another statement 2 weeks ago that we will never give place, we will never give a podium to the devil. And sometimes people say, oh, the enemy is attacking me, or this is what the devil is doing in my life. And I see, we shouldn't do that. We want to glorify what God is doing. And we can live in a place, I really believe it, where we can be sensitive to the things in the Spirit without giving glory to the demonic, but always feel God's presence and live in God's presence so the enemy cannot touch you. And in this day and age, I think it's so important that we can move forward. And I sense that we are in a time of destiny. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you're 80 or 18. I really believe this in the last few months, I feel there's something shifting. And I was back in Switzerland a month or so ago, and I felt the same thing there. It's not just here. There's something shifting. God is getting us ready, the church globally, to move into greater experience of his glory and the manifestation of the kingdom. Because he says he will come back to a church without spot and wrinkle. And that's what he's preparing us. Last weekend, we were in Spokane on a healing room conference, and I'm going to share a little bit more about that later. But one thing they celebrated, that in the Jewish calendar, I think on the 23rd of September, they celebrate in the Hebrew, the Jewish people celebrate the year 5778. Last year was 5777. And in the Hebrew, numbers are very important. And so the meaning they ascribe to this year is the year of open doors. And I really took that. When they shared it, I just felt in my spirit, I took that as a promise from God to me, for my life and also for us as a church, the year of open doors. And so I think even for next weekend when Phil comes, I just feel we want to be stirred up. You know, every new beginning in Switzerland, we say a new broom always sweeps well. It's kind of a saying, you know, that when you open a new restaurant and people just come and want to check it out. And I think same with a new pastor. People want to come check that out. And And so let's use that as a momentum. And maybe one warning, because Phil did steal the first Bible he ever possessed. So there is maybe a little warning we need to give. But I really believe he will be good. He shared that story himself, so I'm not making this up. So anyway, that's it. I'm not lost, so don't stay with me. Yeah, so I really feel God wants to draw all of us closer to himself. That our walk in God, our life in God should not be drudgery. It shouldn't be heavy and hard. It should be inspired by God, enthused by God, enthusiasm, right? And so I believe also he wants to break off discouragement this morning, that we are not discouraged, because if we look back in the past, we all have areas in our life where we messed up, where we were not effective in God's kingdom or in our personal life, or didn't really move ahead. And so I just sense God says, today is a new day. And his grace is new. And so let's look at what he has to say to us today. In the first text is Hebrews 6:12, if you could bring that up. And let's just read it quickly. So here, the writer of Hebrews says here that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And he talks there about faith. He uses Abraham as an example, who many, many years believed God for the promise that God made to Abraham to come through. And so here the writer says, don't become sluggish. Yesterday I hiked from Garibaldi Lake down after 3 days of trail building with my wonderful crew there. And I tried to keep up with Grace, and my legs are still hurting. But as we walked down those 9 kilometers and I think 1,000 meter elevation, there a lot of hikers were still going up. Like, the parking lot was full. They wanted to go camping up there, like literally hundreds, several hundred people. But some of them, they came like spring chickens, and others, they came sluggish. They had heavy packs, and you could tell it was hard work. And they were tired, and they came really sluggish. And so this morning, when I just looked at my notes again, I thought, why were some, like, you know, enthused, and others were sluggish? And so there's several reasons we could think of. Like, some exercise better. And I think that's actually for our walk in faith, too. When, if you don't want to be sluggish in your walk, exercise. Use your faith. Be around people that are enthused and are doing the work of the ministry, are extending the kingdom, right? So exercise, read the Bible, read stories about great heroes of faith in the past, right? Keep your faith fervent, pray in the Spirit. So those exercises will help you. So when you walk this steep incline, which we all have at times, it's going up for a long time, that you don't get sluggish in your walk. The other one is nutrition, which is pretty much the same. What do you feed on? Are your thoughts negative and complaining and fault-finding, or are you trying to be positive and feeding on God's promises, feeding on the Word? You know, I like to space out and watch a movie and this and that, but it's so important that I feed my spirit, because otherwise I get sluggish. And the other one is somewhere probably carrying too much beer or rocks. I remember when we used, Paul shared that story, that they put somebody a rock in their pack, or somebody put in his pack a big rock. And then it was so heavy, right, when he walked. And, you know, and sometimes we carry too much baggage. And so there too, there is a remedy. God wants us to be free from the baggage. And it's amazing when I think we went through some kind of inner healing stuff 20 years ago where they kind of dug up your past and you had to go through some motions and then forgive and something changed. I remember that time. Remember, Romy, with Paul Schober and Chris, and we had this retreat, and wow, there was just like with going through stuff and just bringing it to the cross and going through forgiveness and releasing people that hurted you, and I just felt like, I felt so free. And then 20 years later, last year, we had some RTF ministry in our home, and the similar thing, and again, and so I just see we are going from glory to glory. And so allow God to lead you and to take you through places where you deal with baggage and where you let go of stuff. It's so easy to pick up stuff you don't need to carry. Because Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light, right? And so let's go on. So that in the verse, do not become sluggish is the beginning. And then, but imitate those. And I want to just pause right here. In August 3rd, I was preaching here, and I was using Gladys Award. And she was a missionary to China, and she raised up an orphanage, and she did an amazing work. And when I read her story, it just, the obstacles she had to face, she had no money, she had the mission, the missionary or Bible schools, they looked at her, she was not smart enough to be a missionary in China for them. She couldn't learn to read well enough, and it's just too not educated and too old. She was already 25 and past, and she was too old considered to their standards. But God used her mightily, and she had to overcome all those obstacles. And another story I used is Heidi Baker in Mozambique, an orphanage with thousands of people, missionaries. They planted like 5,000 churches the last so many years, and but I remember her story years ago where she was just at the break of giving up and throwing everything away, like stopping mission and stopping everything because nothing was happening. And within 10 years, everything changed. And before, for 20 years, she labored, or I don't know exactly how many years, but she labored and tried, and it just did not seem to work. It didn't seem that the glory days didn't come, but suddenly it happened. And so he says here, imitate those who by faith and patience have inherited the promises. And what are the promises God gave in your lives? You know, there is dreams and visions God planted in your life. And he wants to fulfill them. And you know, in Hebrew it talks about the heroes of faith. They never saw the fulfillment of their promise of a kingdom that comes from heaven and will take root on the earth. And they never saw that. It started with Jesus coming. They labored for it all their life. A lot of our promises we will see if we, by faith and patience, continue to persevere and to trust God to bring it about. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why the promise God speaks to you is so important. I always go back, like, you know, in Romans, Paul talks about law. How law and the rules and regulations and attitude change and character flaw telescopes, how they actually give power to sin. It's good to read the law and recognize, yes, I need Jesus. But once you come to Jesus, you're in a new covenant. It's a covenant of promise. A covenant of promise of his kingdom coming, of him living through you. And, you know, yesterday I was thinking about obedience a little bit. Because, see, we all have stuff in our life. When we apply the law to it, we realize it's not yet perfect. My character has still flaws. There is still stuff. There's still issues, right? And Jesus, he makes a statement at one point. He says, if you're my friend, then you obey me. And you know, a friend of God, there's a promise that to his friends, he will give it while they are asleep. Jesus wants you to be his friend. If you are my friend, you obey me. And so I was thinking, what is obedience? Is it just not doing the bad stuff? Is it just being nice? And, you know, I mean, that's part of it. He likes that, right? If you try to be good. But I was looking at Peter and John and those guys. You know, they had issues. They were competitive and they could get in arguments, hot-headed, right? And even after Pentecost, they still had issues, I'm convinced, right? But what was the obedience? It's part of allowing God to shape us in our character, in our living out our salvation. But I think a big part is to go where he sends you to go. And to allow God to use you. And see, when you become sluggish, I don't think you will be effective anymore. What has God called you to do? You know, yes, you run a business, you work in a store, you have your job, or you're retired and you have your grandkids. There's a lot of things you're doing, and they are good, they're important. But I sense God is opening doors for us, new opportunities where we may never even dreamed of. And I believe He wants to raise up us up on a new level where suddenly, with our natural that we give Him, God will add His supernatural, like we've never seen before. So I just want to challenge you to just take steps and move into directions and look for possibilities and look in your heart. Because see, Jesus lives in your heart and He wants to give you the desire of your heart. So look what's in there and dream that God wants to fulfill it. Start moving into that direction. And He wants to do more than you can even dream or imagine, right? And so when we look at the people like those, but imitate those who through faith and patience, when we look to those, we want to look to people that have done great things. In the Bible, there's a lot of them, but there's also modern day revivalists that have done amazing things, and we want to be inspired, and we want to learn from them, and move ahead, and see the great things come. Jesus says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. See, those are some of the promises that I'm feeding on. Everyone that calls on me shall be saved. That's another promise. Whatever we ask, He will give. That's huge. Those are the promises Jesus makes, right? And those are the promises I feed on a regular basis. Like yesterday, I came down from the mountain, I was a bit weary. We had three long days, I prepared on Wednesday the message, and then I looked at the message and I felt, wow, I think I was just physically so a bit exhausted, I guess. It just felt so dry, the whole message. And then what do? I went to the promise, just personal. I just went to God's word, right? Because the enemy was trying to say, oh, you didn't pray enough and you shouldn't have worked that long. And, you know, he wants to just, I run to the promise. I run to the promises that He made into my life. That God will open a door that no man can close. That Pemberton here, 20 years ago, God gave me a glimpse, a vision of Pemberton, like the seed potatoes being exported all over America. That there will be healing coming out of this valley. And people from all over the world will come here and be healed and bring healing all around the world. That's a vision, a dream God gave me. And I'm going to speak that. I'm going to go back to those promises He gave me. I take the promises in the Bible, but I also take those things He whispered in my ear. And I speak them back to Him, and I encourage myself by reminding my heart about those promises. And I say, and this will happen. No matter how I feel now, God will not leave me. He will empower me. He will go before me. And see, even if I stumble, even if I would get lost in my message this morning, which never happens, of course. He can still, you know, it's not about a nice talk, right? There's something happening in the spirit, and God sometimes speaks to you something, and the preacher doesn't even say it, right? And that's so beautiful. See, God takes our natural, the little bit we give Him, and He makes something way bigger out of it. And that's our hope. So now we want to just do a quick read. I want to just read a couple of scriptures, I think. Before we read the scriptures, my question is, who do we trust? Do we really trust God, or do we trust our understanding? And the picture God gave me was Jerusalem and Judea and the temple in Jerusalem. And what I feel God is saying, come live in the temple. Live in the Holy of Holies. Because around Jerusalem in Judea, when you look at the history, there often the people were attacked. And it's like us, we can live so easily in a place. We know about God, but we don't really know His protection. And And so I just feel God wants to take us into his protection in a deeper level. And let's just read Jeremiah 17, 5 to 9, and then Psalm 91, because those are wonderful scriptures and some good promises in it. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 7. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So the picture we get here is when a man is cursed, which is when I don't trust in God, I become like a desert bush, and they all have thorns. If anybody comes close to me, they get hurt. And I know so, I can be so easy in that place, where I itchy, I'm not easy to get along with, and abrasive. And so the picture is if we trust in God, even in a tough situation, even in a dry place, the life of God can flow. And then the last statement, the heart is wicked, the heart is twisted. You know, so often we can think, we say, oh, you know, I trust God. But let God shed light in it. You know, like, I just feel this morning he wants to increase our capacity to trust. Because so easy we say, yes, I trust in God. But our actions prove different. You know, what happens if something comes your way that's not pleasant? Is the first thing you run to, is it God? Or you call a doctor or this and that? You know, I love the doctors. They are great. But isn't God our healer? If we trust in God, wouldn't we run to him first? Or when financial problems come, do I phone the banker right away, or do I first ask my wife or somebody else and we pray and say, God, show us, give us your wisdom. How do we do this? How do we get out of that? See, in practical life, and if we trust in our own self, we become abrasive. Now, Psalm 91 quickly, and then we'll close it. And this is one of my favorite psalms. It's full of nuggets, full of promises. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You know, in the healing room conference last weekend, there were people, it's like a walk-in clinic, an outreach program in, I think, 3,000 places around the world. They built that the last 15 years. And usually, in almost every healing room has like from 5 to 10 different churches, people working in there. And there were people from all around the world coming together, and they shared testimonies. And I was so touched, you know, that because people go in that healing room, and a lot of unbelievers, and they seek God's direction. The testimonies, there was one woman from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, she had in the middle of the city the healing room, and they brought orphans in there, and they got touched. Their behavior changed, bedwetting stopped, and so on. And so word got around in the orphanages, and they wanted to bring him by the busloads. They had to say, no, you can only bring 20 or 30 per week. And another group, they went to Taiwan in a Christian hospital, and they wanted a healing room in the hospital, those Christian doctors. And when they did the training, one of the doctors got healed with pancreas and cancer. And so they started the healing room, and now in the hospital, they have a healing room, part of the service to the human, to the people there. And then another one was from England, the Costa coffee shop. It's like Starbucks, one of the biggest coffee shops in England. And they have, they asked the coffee shop the slowest time of the week if they could have a healing room on 3-4 tables and discreetly just allow people to come and come for prayer. And it became such a success for the kingdom, because every week people got born again, met with Jesus the first time, other people got healed. But then also for the Costa business, it increased their business to the place where the Costa management, the top management in a very big area said, I think over several hundred stores, they said, any store, if you have workers to start a healing room, if the manager has a problem, call me. And he opened up all those Costa. And it's just, what I see is, it opens up doors to people that usually wouldn't come into this room. And God wants to reach them. And so I just, when I listened to all of that, I said, God, help me to trust you. Because we can see so easy the limitation of our little valley. We can so easy see, well, maybe I'm not that type of person, or maybe I'm in the wrong place, or whatever. But do we trust God? That's what I felt the Lord was whispering in my ear. Can you trust me to fulfill those desires that are in you? Can you trust me to make this church here without spot and wrinkle? To bring the kingdom into this body. And you know, when I look the last few years, I just feel the love that's growing between us. And even what you prayed about, the respect between other church groups in the valley. It's beautiful. That's kingdom. It's beautiful. And I really believe we're just tapping, like having our toes in the water. There's so much more to come. And could you, worship team, could you start maybe the song, the last song? And I just like to maybe sing it quietly once, and I just want to pray, and then we can sing it. But as they just quietly sing, I would like that we just close our eyes or just meet before God. I just feel He wants to increase our capacity for trusting. And like we heard, the heart is twisted. We often think, oh yeah, I trust God. And I really believe He wants to take us to a new level. So if you just quietly, Father God, I just ask that you just pour your blessing on us. Father, I ask that you quicken the words you spoke or you gave me, Father. Remove everything that's not of you, that's of me, Father. And I just ask, Father, that we would just receive a capacity to trust you in a new way, Father. Father, I ask that you speak to every individually, to our dreams, our visions, our desires. Remove what's not of you, God. And just strengthen what is of you. Bring it meaning and breed hope, Father. And Lord, together we want to just declare that we trust you, Lord. We trust you to fulfill, to finish what you started in us. We trust you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will lead us from glory to glory and break off anything that hinders. In Jesus' name, amen.